And then the effects that prayer has when the body of Christ comes together. And over the past number of months, the Lord has just kind of laid this track on my heart for just seeing what happens when people get together intentionally for praying for specific things. And one of the things that we're going to be doing as a church, we've already started about 3 weeks ago, of praying specifically for unity within the body of Christ in Titusville. And we are really excited about the prospects that are there and what God can do. And there's a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe we'd call it a learning curve or just being comfortable in a setting of lifting up our voices and praying together. And so what we've done at Grace Fellowship, and you know that we've been talking about this for a while and they're in, is we ordered 100 of these prayer devotionals, and we were able to get them retitled with our town name on them. And this is a 30-day prayer devotional written by a friend of mine through Elam Fellowship. And through that process, there's a whole story that I won't go into a lot of the background, because I think I've shared it on and off throughout this time. But Bob Santos, a friend of mine, wrote this book. He's done it within his own community of Indiana, Pennsylvania. And a good friend of ours that we're kind of loosely connected with, not so much anymore, but he was here serving in the community, Bill Blair, actually wrote one of the endorsements of the book itself. And it was just amazing the process that God kind of brought this into our hands. And then on Friday, I was able to sit down and meet with four other leaders representing three churches within our community, and just asking them, would they be willing to take one of these books back to their church? And would they get together with 8 to 10 or even make it a part of their midweek service like we are, but get together with 8 to 10 people within their church and also be going through this and praying about unity within the body of Christ leading up to the National Day of Prayer, which is the first Thursday in May. And we just had an amazing time of being able to pray together, fellowship, talk about what God could do. We were all in agreement that the Lord was going to be able to use this endeavor. And so something that I want to make available to you is that on Wednesday night, this past week, we handed out about 18 or so of these books, and we're going through it. You don't have to have a book in order to come to Wednesday night, but it would help you in what we're doing so that you'd know what we're talking about. But if you would like to be a part of this, we're not limiting it to 8 to 10 people. We really want as many people involved as possible. And the format that we really feel that opens that up is on Wednesday night. And we've had right around 20 people coming and being a part of that. And it's an exciting time to see what God is going to be doing through prayer. And so the elders are going to be taking over that. We've reached out to Tim Owen, who has been working with our men's group. And he's going to take one of the Wednesdays, and he's going to be teaching one of the lessons as well. And so I know you'll really like to come and to hear him. But this is the direction that the Lord has us going in when it comes to what prayer is in the body of Christ. And a book is able to help us kind of rally around something and get excited about being a part of something. But the reality is that nothing changes within our mindset unless we focus on Jesus Christ. If our focus is on Jesus Christ, then we could do this through any endeavor of unity. But one of the things that really stood out to me that I know I've shared this verse with you, it's not necessarily the pivotal verse of what we're going to be looking at this morning, but there was that identifier that Jesus gave to us that people would know that we are his followers by our love for one another. Do you remember that? They will know you are my followers by your love for one another. Not how well you can preach, not well how much of the gospel you know, all kinds of different gifts, talents, and abilities. That's not it. It was how we treat each other. And that was an in-house statement. He was talking to the disciples. He was talking to the Christians, so to speak, of that moment. And he's saying, this is how people will know that you are my followers. And I think that because that one single statement was made, That has been the agenda of the enemy from the beginning, is to cause disunity within the body of Christ, because unity is the symbol of our love for him. Isn't that amazing? Is that there's all of this, if you talk about people that, or you know of someone who has been hurt by the church, or broken relationships, or those types of things, it's amazing what happens when the goal is for unity, and yet the enemy is, it's so obvious what he's going to do. It's an obvious thing that he is going to break unity within us. If you have your Bibles with you, I would ask you to open up to Galatians with me for just a moment. And I really believe that as we head into February, there's going to be this rallying point of what it means to come together. Something very interesting happens here with Paul as he's writing his letters on his different travels that he's having and meeting with the churches, is that he is attempting to do something that in our current day and age, we would almost think is impossible. Because within a few seconds, I can let roughly 800 to 1,000 people know something instantly through social media. I can do it through various avenues, or I can send out an email. We have an email group here at the church. And if there's something that's going on, within a matter of seconds, people can be alerted to what's happening, and they can be praying, or they can be aware that there's a meeting, or they can be aware of different changes or whatever. And Paul is attempting to do something very similar without that kind of technology literally at his fingertips. We always talk about fingertips. We never knew how literal that was going to be. And here he is in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What he's doing is he is writing to these churches, and he's talking about the unity of the body of Christ. That's a continuing theme through them. And he's correcting them in some of the things that they're worshiping. He's encouraging with how they're worshiping. He's talking to them about prayer. But something that is on his heart is, as he travels around that area of the world, he is desiring to bring the churches together. And from the beginning, the enemy has desired for there to be disunity in the body of Christ. One of the things that he does, we're gonna pick up with some of his encouragement that's happening in Galatians. Just so that you know, there's some corrective things that are going on here when he writes these letters, because he's able to go into the community and he's able to preach. And then if you can imagine this, they have to hold on to that teaching, stay true to that teaching, just based upon those who are hearing it, or some of the writings or notes maybe that were left behind. And sometimes they would kind of veer from the path. And so in the first chapter here, Paul kind of brings a corrective word to them. But what we want to be able to see is that there is this call and this this beckoning heart for people to be able to say, I want the body of Christ to come together. In chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul begins to talk about the history of what he has done and the work that God did in his life. And it says this in chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. I want to read that part to you one more time. Paul, we think of Paul as the elite of the elite leaders of the apostles, but I want you to understand something. There was a point at which they were still attempting to rally around what Paul was doing. There was even still some doubt as to whether or not Paul really had the intentions of the church at heart. And you want to see, it says 14 years. So this is, he's really been working at this for a while. Amen? He's really been doing this for a while. And so he says in chapter 2, verse 1, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. So two things that he's making sure of, that the things that he had spoken of in the past were not in vain, and the things that he was going to continue to preach about in the future were not in vain. Something that has really stood out to me, and the men's group knows that I've got a little bit of a passion about this, is I believe that Paul was a closet runner. That's what I believe. He talks about running and running the race and winning the prize. He talks about this not in some kind of figurative thing. He talks about it like he kind of knows what's going on. I kind of picture him setting his alarm for 6 o'clock in the morning and getting up and going for a run every day, whatever that would look like. No? Okay. So, but he references this concept quite a bit. But watch what he's talking about here. The first thing that he does when he's talking about submitting things, here he is, he's been in the ministry doing what he's been doing for 14 years. Now, I don't know about you, after I've been doing something for 14 years, I kind of feel like I know what I'm talking about. But after having gone around and spoken to some people and met with some people, and watch this, his specific ministry to the Gentiles. I wonder if there's any Gentiles present here this morning. There's a few of us, I think. Gentiles. Are there any Gentiles here? Yes, okay, a few, I see them. We're all Gentiles, unless you're... Okay, all right, just in case. All right, so what Paul was doing is that he had received a revelation specifically on how to minister and how to bring the Gentiles into the fold of the body of Christ. He wanted to make sure of two things, that what he had said in the past wasn't out of line with the Spirit of God, and what the Lord had laid on his heart for the future was not out of line. And so what did he do? After ministering and after going around and talking and preaching the gospel, he came back to Jerusalem and he said, "All right, Peter, here's some things that the Lord has laid on my heart. What do you think?" This is something that feeds right into a theme and an idea that Paul did not even hear about firsthand. Paul wasn't a part of that group in the four Gospels that was walking around with Jesus. Paul wasn't a part of that group. He was still Saul. He was still a Pharisee. He was still grounded and rooted in the law, and he was all about serving the law and serving God on a way of works-oriented mentality. He was very religious in what he was doing, and so he wasn't even a part of those conversations, and yet, through the Spirit of God, Paul is able to say, "All right, I've received a revelation, and I believe that God wants to minister to the Gentiles in this region, and God has given me a revelation. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to lay this before the apostles that are there, and I'm going to ask them, is this something that you believe that God can use and can work through? Is this within the Spirit of God?" And let me tell you something, that act in and of itself is completely unique among the body of Christ, even at that day. A number of his, because look at what he says, now that we know this part, now we can jump back into chapter 1 and verse 6, because here's the correction that he makes to the church in Galatia. So chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. But not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Can you see that what Paul is saying is he's saying, as soon as you start to break away from the heart of God, as soon as you start to break away from what is true to Scripture, because they had letters, they had teachings, as soon as you start to break away from that, now what you're doing is you are separating yourself from God. You're separating yourself from what can be done. And there are those who are even planted within the body of Christ in Galatia that are doing this intentionally. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Watch this, verse 10. Am I now seeking the approval of man or God? So everything that Paul is doing, he's saying, just set that aside for a moment and look at my motives. Am I trying to please man or am I trying to please God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So what we see is early on in the church, there was this breaking of fellowship. There was this disunity in the body of Christ. And there was the struggle of being able to keep them all on the same note and all on the same chord sheet and all of them following the same message. It was a difficult task. And would you agree with me that it would even be more difficult if you couldn't pick up the phone and call them? Because if anything is going on strange in our current society, it's a phone call, it's a text, it's an email, we've got it. But Paul, he has one chance, he goes in, he stays with a particular community for a certain amount of time, and then he's off. So watch this. This is what's amazing about this idea of unity, is that it is the actual Spirit of God and desire of the Holy Spirit that we be unified as one body. Watch this now. There is even a church of a particular community. A church. Now, before you think I'm saying, and we are it, that is not what I'm about to say. Because watch this. The collective body of Christ that is getting together right now is the church of Titusville. There are churches that are open right now. They're either just concluding, just getting started. They're in their Sunday school program. They're in their worship service. The ministers are standing up. They're preaching the word of God. They're reaching out, touching hearts, changing lives. They're reaching people that we can't reach. We're reaching people they can't reach. But all together, we are the collective bride of Christ in Titusville. And there's a mentality that has changed over the centuries that has caused this breaking of fellowship among the body of Christ. And we would attribute it to, well, I'm not a part of that denomination, or I don't think that their theology is in line with what I would believe, or their doctrine might be a little different, or something like that. And I would offer this to you, is that really the biggest thing that we need to ask ourselves is, are we in fellowship with people that believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord and Savior? And if you are in fellowship with people that believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit can work through us and can cause unity to take place within the body of Christ. We have our Trail Life AHG program that comes on. There are multiple families from multiple different fellowships that come and participate. What Brent and Kelly have done with our youth ministry, we have a handful of students that come from other churches that are a part of our youth ministry. We've been able to have one of our largest events that we just had a thank you time for some of our key leaders for our live nativity. We have people that come in from various other fellowships that participate in our live nativity. There is something that happens when we get together and understand that we are one body serving one Lord, glorifying Jesus Christ, and asking for the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. And as soon as we break away from that, as soon as we begin to think, well, that person isn't saved, or this person has this broken thing going on, here's the question. Here's the big question. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he is alive and well in heaven and waiting for his return to this earth? If that is you, join up. Get on board. Let's see God do something incredible. Are there different methodologies to it? Absolutely. There are different ways that people worship? Yes, there are. But what Paul is getting at here is he's saying how quickly you got away from the things that we had shared with you, how easily distracted you were. And let's not get distracted. Let's not be torn apart. Let's not disenfranchise ourselves from those who love Jesus Christ and desire to see everyone come to a working knowledge in him. I believe that as we get unified in this community, people will begin to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Because unity doesn't come naturally. It just doesn't. I mean, ask the different business owners within our own community. It's a struggle. It's like let's work together, and sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. Think of the different even the different Christian things that have been going on. As soon as you say, well, we're meeting at our church, but this is for the entire community. And when I served on the ministerium for a number of years, and they say, we're gonna hold a meeting that's all for the community, but it's going to take place in this one church. And we would go, and basically the people in that church would be the only ones that would show up. And then you'd host it at another church, and the people in that church would be the only ones that would show up. We're like, we got to figure this thing out. We got to figure out how we can work together. And so about 6 or 7 months ago, I just began to ask the Lord. I said, you know, there's got to be something that we can rally around, because reinventing the wheel has been tough, hasn't it? It's hard when you say, well, we need to be unified and we need to do this and we need to do that. And there's different things that are happening within our community, and it seems like there's nothing that's able to get traction. And after last year's National Day of Prayer, I sat down with the guy that was kind of been heading it up for the last number of years, 5, 7, 6, I can't remember. He's been doing it for a number of years. And I sat down with him and I said, I wonder if there's a way that we can get the people involved in the National Day of Prayer. I wonder if we could get those who are there to actually be a part of the prayer and a part of lifting up our community. And something that I shared with him is, I said, it just felt like to me that we had entered into some kind of spectator event where the pastor would come up and so eloquently and wonderfully, some of the prayers, I was moved by a number of the prayers that were happening. But the prayer service was about like that. You could hear a pin drop. And if a pin did drop, you'd be like, who slammed the door? And I said, there's got to be more to this. And I got together with him. And then shortly after that, I was introduced to this devotional. I thought, okay, that might be another step. And then I reached out to some of the local pastors, just said, hey, what can we do? And without going into too much detail, there was even just a few moments of confusion as to what we were doing and why we were getting together. And I was just sharing a few things with my wife after the meeting, and I said, that devil is a stinker, because there we were with these four leaders within our community for the purpose of unity, and he was trying to cause some disunity right there over a cup of coffee. But we squelched it right away. Boy, we sniffed it out. Some of the other guys that were with me are like, there's some deception going on here. This isn't at all. We need to stay on. And I mean, man, we got together and we squelched it. Stopped the devil at his old tricks and said, we're going to get unified on this thing. We're not going to allow the enemy to have this foothold. It's been here too long. And I believe that unification within the body of Christ, if I could just drift into something that may or may not be a good analogy for you, but this is how stuff makes sense to me is I think that unity is the devil's kryptonite. I don't think he likes it. I think strongholds begin to fall. I think that people begin to get healed. I think that the word of God goes forth. If you can imagine if a leader, if a pastor is standing behind his pulpit and he doesn't feel alone, he feels like he's got the support of not only the people that are in front of him, but the people that are also meeting in their churches around the community. How much more strength do you feel that would be there? I feel excited because I actually received a word from the Lord in our prayer time while we were meeting with the pastors right in our lobby over a cup of coffee. We're praying, and one of the young men that was there said, I don't know, I'm getting this weird picture right now. And that was kind of unique for some of the pastors that were there. They weren't used to like a revelation coming right in the middle of prayer. Not that they didn't think it could happen, but I could tell that it was gonna we were treading on some new ground. And this young man spoke up and he said, is there somebody here who has some kind of dental problem or a tooth issue or something like that? And we all kind of looked down and we're like, And we're like, wow, thank you for being obedient. We have no idea what you're talking about. And we moved on. But it was me. Isn't that weird? And what happened to me was is on Thursday of last week, or Wednesday, I had a dentist appointment, and we were in there, and he's doing his cleaning and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if this happens to you very often. It's as I'm getting older, it happens to me now. Is that he's cleaning my teeth, and all of a sudden, zing! He hits me something. My pinky toes like cramp up. It hurts so bad. And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "You tell me. You tell me if I'm okay. That really hurt." And there was something going on with some fillings that I had that were a number of years old. They were starting to pull apart a little bit and all this. And he's like, I can't do this before you go on your trip, but it's not going to be a problem. Just be a little careful with what you're doing. And so when he said dental thing, I was thinking like root canal or, you know, somebody having like major issues, not a little zinger in their tooth. And I felt like as we were going on, the Lord was like, no, that's for you. So after we were done praying, I had to do the aw shucks darn thing. Well, you know, that was me. Right? That was me. And he stood right up, laid hands on me, and prayed for me and my tooth for my trip. Right there, in our coffee shop, or our coffee time. The Lord speaks and moves and covers things when we unite together in prayer. Can I get an amen? And there are things that God wants to do within this community. You will begin to see more and more of that as we come together and pray, because God desires not to speak to his people, because watch now, I believe that God never stops speaking to his people. He desires for his people to hear his voice and to move on what he says. And that's what that young man did. He was the youngest of our group. And he's like, I could tell. He was like, I don't know. This is here. What about this? I've since reached out to him and thanked him for his obedience and just said, man, that was amazing. Thank you for doing that. But only in the atmosphere, watch now, of unified prayer. God spoke. There was an answer. And I've gotten a couple of texts back from him. So how's the tooth? I'm like, I don't know. Next, you know, the dentist isn't in there digging around, you know. I don't know. But I believe that over the next 2 weeks, nothing serious is going to happen. Can I get an amen? I've been touched. I've been healed by God. And I tell you that because that is the purpose behind what we are doing as the body of Christ. If you want to be a part of something that we really believe God is moving and functioning in the body of Christ in this community, I would encourage you to be a part of our Wednesday night. I would say, even those of you who are a part of the International School of Ministry that's taking place at the other end of the building, do not feel like you are missing out. Do not feel like you are separated, because God is here. God is unifying this body of Christ. Now, I don't know if they're planning on making some adjustments or not, because I've been building this up pretty strong, and I don't know if they feel left out at all. Are you? Okay, so I just know that God is doing something incredible in this area of obedience in prayer. And I would encourage you to do that. In a few moments, as I close this time out, I have what's left of these books. I think we have about, after they took theirs, I think we're right around 50 or 60 of these books left. And here's my only plea to you. These are absolutely free to take. There is no cost. But if you take one, that means you're reading through it, you're on board with us, and whether you could make it to Wednesday nights or not, you're going through this devotional and your heart and your time is focused on unified prayer within the body of Christ. Amen? So there's no monetary requirement, but there's a spiritual connection that I'm asking you to make with us. So only take one of these if you believe that this is something that the Lord is going to just be able to give you the time to do it and to be a part of it. It's a 30-day devotional. We're going through a couple of days here and there on Wednesday nights. Obviously, there's not 30 Wednesdays between now and the National Day of Prayer, and so we're going to be hitting them at various times. Right now, we're just doing one day a night. But we'll pick it up and maybe do a few more on a few Wednesday nights as we get closer. But this book is going to be available. Right now it's in my office in a box because I knew that if I had set it out, some people would be taking it without really knowing what the challenge was going to be on it. But our desire for getting this book in your hands is so that we would be unified in prayer for this community and for the body of Christ that exists right here in Titusville. And it's very specific that way. I think you would agree with me that there are things within our world right now that need prayer. There are things going on in Australia with the wildfires. That country is just being decimated by wildfires. Our own federal government, just all the things that have been going on in our own land. There's a lot of things that are happening. This whole coronavirus that's going on. It's devastating to people. Entire country right now has just been isolated and quarantined. Huge sections of China are isolated and quarantined. People aren't even allowed into our country anymore because of where they might be from. I get it that there are things that are happening, but watch this, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear their voice, I will forgive them of their sins, and I will heal their land. Do you see the order? So do you want the United States to be on the right track? Then there's some things that we need to do first. We need to be unified in our prayer. We need to pray, repent, and ask forgiveness for the stance or the lack of stance that we've had. And when we pray for that forgiveness, God will hear our prayers and then he will heal our land. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's an order. And so I'm not saying don't pray for Australia. Don't pray for those who have been affected by these things. Don't pray for the tragedies that are taking. I'm not saying that. But I am saying is what we want to do through this endeavor is to be able to see God move when the body of Christ gets unified. We're going to tap into some serious things. Here's what I truly believe, is that it is actually possible that things could get a little shaky as we start doing this. Because the enemy is going to be completely aware of what our goals are and what our desire is. Things could get a little hectic. Like I shared on Wednesday night, if the devil hasn't been bothering you in a while, you should be asking why. Because if he's ignoring you, then maybe you need to shake things up a little bit. Not get his attention so problems happen, but be working on things for the Lord. And this is one step that we can take together. Amen? So I'm going to pray with you about this, and then we're going to do something else real quick as we close. So Father, right now we just come before you as the body of Christ here at Grace Fellowship Church. And Lord, we ask that over these next number of weeks, as we get together and we focus on this endeavor with prayer, that Lord, that there would be a heartbreaking that would take place within ourselves, that Father, we would repent for where we are and how complacent maybe we've been. And Father, I just ask that there would be a renewing of our fire, a renewing of our desire to see you do something incredible within this community. Father, we truly come before you and we lift up the other fellowships in this community that love you, that are preaching the word of God, that are desiring to see the lost saved. Father, we just lift up their leaders. We lift up their elders. We lift up their board. We lift up their volunteers. God, we pray that the word of God would come forth from the community of Titusville. And Father, we pray that this morning lives would be changed because the body of Christ is coming together under one banner, one name, that is Jesus Christ. We thank you, praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask my elders and their wives to come and join me and my wife to join me on the platform. And I am just humbled that the Lord has, over the last, I would say maybe 10 years, just opened up avenues of me being able to go into Africa and minister. I never really saw myself as a missionary, but the doors that have been opened, come on up, the doors that have been opened.